Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 11. 1 Chronicles, chapter 11. We'll read verses 10 through 14 together. 1 Chronicles, chapter 11, verses 10 through 14. These also are the chief of the mighty men whom David had, whom strengthened them themselves with him in his kingdom, and with all Israel, to make him king according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. And this is the number of the mighty men who David had: Jashobeam and Hachmonite, the chief of the captains. He lifted up his spear against 300 slain by him at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, who was one of the three mighties. He was with David at Pasdamimim, and there the Philistines were gathered together to battle, where the parcel of ground full of barley, and the people fled from before the Philistines. And let's finish on verse 14 together. Ready? And they set themselves in the midst of that parcel, and delivered it, and slew the Philistines, and the Lord saved them by a great deliverance. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you do for us here in this place. Thank you that the family's together today. Father, please fill our preacher with your power as he preaches. We're a needy people. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people in this room, Father, need you in a very unique way. Father, we have guests here today. May they feel welcome. May they feel your presence. Most of all, please fill our preacher with your power as he preaches. May we listen with your power as well. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
As we've already explained, today is Father's, Grandfather's, and Great-Grandfather's Day as a part of our spring program. Now, we again will pay tribute to fathers and grandfathers, etc., on Father's Day when it rolls around, but today we just wanted to have a special day and a special time where we gave attention to those men in our lives. Our churches in America need men. There's no doubt about that. No doubt whatsoever. As I explained earlier, you know, a lot of men wonder about going down to the church because, you know, you show up at the average church in America, there's some women in there and they've got their kids with them, and but there's an absence of men in our churches. And I don't want that to be the case around the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, and it is not. As you looked around earlier, the number of men here is it's a high number of men, and there's a high percentage of men, and that's what we want. We want that. But I would like something even more than that. I would like that our men not just be men, but I would like it if they would be mighty men. Mighty men. That is the title of my sermon this morning, Mighty Men. God is the one that created man. It is God that created man. Man was then created in God's image. So men, you need to stop and realize something. You were created in God's image. And ladies, so you understand, God is a He. That is very clear in the Bible. He is called a Father. So man was the first human being created. He was created in the image of God. God is called our Heavenly Father. And so men, what an honor. You have been created in the likeness of the God of the universe. What an honor. What an honor. Well, I got to thinking about it. I got to checking in the Bible, and everybody look right this way. I got to checking in the Bible, and I see that our God is a mighty God. He has mighty power, according to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse number 37. It says, "And because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them, and brought thee out of his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt." Our God is one of mighty power. He is mighty in his strength. The Bible says in Job chapter 9, verse number 4, "He is wise in heart and mighty in strength, who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered." It doesn't matter how hard you are, you will not prosper when you harden yourself against our God, because God is mightier than you. But he is mighty in strength. The Bible says that our God is mighty in battle. It says Psalm 24, verse number 8, who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. The Bible teaches us that he has a mighty voice. Psalm chapter 68, verse 33, it says, to him that rideth upon the heavens of heavens, which were of old, lo, he doth send out his voice, and that a mighty voice. The Bible says the voice of God is mighty. The Bible says the power of God is mighty. The Bible says the strength of God is mighty. The Bible says that God is mighty in battle. The Bible says that God has mighty arms. Psalms 89, verse 13, it says, thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. The Bible says that he is mightier than the waves of the sea. Psalm 93, verse 4 says, the Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. We serve a mighty God. We have a mighty and a powerful God. The Bible says that he is mighty in his work. In Jeremiah 32, verse 19, it says, great in counsel and mighty in work. The Bible tells us that our God answers prayer in a mighty way. Jeremiah 33, 3 says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Thank God, our God is a mighty God. He is a mighty God. You say, Brother Owens, I have a prayer request today. It's a mighty big request. Well, you have a mighty big God that can answer prayer in a mighty big way. So we have a mighty God today. Mighty are his wonders. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 4, verse number 3, how great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. He does many mighty works. Now, his work is mighty, but he does many mighty works. Matthew 11, 20, it says, then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done. His spirit is like a rushing, mighty wind, the Bible says. In Acts chapter 2, verse number 2, it says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing, mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were all sitting. The power of God, the Spirit of God is a mighty thing. When a man's heart is hardened, the power of God, the Spirit of God, like a rushing, mighty wind, can move into his life and blow his pride right off of its feet. You say, how can anything get through the pride of a man? The power of God is more powerful than the pride of man. It can knock you right off your feet. The Bible says that his spirit was like a rushing, mighty wind. It rushes into the life of man. It's a powerful thing. He uses mighty weapons, according to the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 4, the Bible says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I'll tell you something. This God that we serve, he uses mighty and powerful weapons as we fight the warfare against our enemy, the devil. If God is mighty, and he is, and man was created in his image, and we were, then man should be mighty for the Lord. I'm not just talking about physical strength, gentlemen. You see, Psalm 33, verse 16 says, there is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. What it's saying there is, we're not talking about physical strength. Physical strength is not all that there is to do with might. There is another strength that is greater than physical strength. I know all sorts of people that have a physical strength, but they are spiritually weak-kneed. They are spiritually out of condition. They may have a mighty bicep, but they do not have the might and the power of the God of the universe in their life. So in essence, they're physically strong, but they're spiritually weaklings. So it is not just physical strength that I allude to today. Not just speaking about brute, physical, muscular force. Because God is looking for some mighty men spiritually. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, it says, God said, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge, stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. What we need in America are some men that will stand up and do something about turning our country back to God, turning our churches back to God, turning our families back to God. And God is not talking here about physical brute strength. He's talking about some men becoming mighty in the Lord. I looked through the Bible. I found that God on many occasions, not extreme number, but on some occasions, we see that He alludes or refers to some men as mighty men in the Bible. Gideon in Judges chapter 6, verse number 12, was called a mighty man. I mean, God actually used the term mighty with the name Gideon. Jephthah in Judges chapter 11, verse number 1, Jephthah was called a mighty man. Boaz in Ruth chapter 2, verse number 1, was called a mighty man. Kish in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse number 1, was called a mighty man. David in 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 10 was referred to with the exact words, he's a mighty man. I don't know about you, sir. I don't know when you get up in the morning, you put your pants on one leg at a time just like I do. But I don't want to just be a man. I would like to be a mighty man. Jeroboam in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse number 28, was called a mighty man. Naaman in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse number 1, was called a mighty man. Ismaiah in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse number 4, was called a mighty man. Eliada in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 17, was called a mighty man. Zerkai was called in 2 Chronicles chapter 28, verse number 7, a mighty man. God is looking for somebody that's more than just a man. You're born a boy, you grow up into a man, but God is looking for some men that would rise up, decide they want to be more than just a male. More than just a male. You've heard me say it before, I'll say it again. Anybody can father a child as long as they're old enough to make it happen. But not just anybody is a daddy. There's a big difference. There's a big difference. You could go out and have you a little tingle and enjoy your night for a moment, and you could father a child. But it takes a mighty man to be a daddy and a father and rear that child for God. And God is looking for a few good men. God is looking for some men who would be willing to join His spiritual special forces and become mighty men. You go to the United States military and they have their special forces, special operations units, special tactics teams, special forces teams. Hey, if they have the sense to do it, I would guess God has the sense to do it. You go to the Army and you have the Green Berets or the Delta Force or the Airborne Rangers. What is that? Those are special forces. In the Air Force, you have the combat controllers, the CCT. You have the pararescue jumpers, the PJ unit. Then you have for the Navy, you have the sea, air, land team. What is that? That's the SEAL team. What are these? These are not just men. They are mighty men in the army of our country. And God is looking for some men that will become mighty men and join the SEAL team for God and join airborne for God and join. You go to the Marines. You have Force Recon. And you have scout and snipers. And you, what are these? These are men that are above average. These are men that have decided that they will get a little extra training and not just be a male, but be a man. Not just father a child, but be a daddy to that child. Brother Gewin, he was in the Brownies. And you can tell by looking at him, he's been into Brownies of some sort. Brother Gewin is in charge of our aerobics classes here. God needs some men. God also has some special forces. David in the Old Testament, as we read earlier, had a group of men in the Bible that were called David's mighty men. What was that? That's Delta Force. That's the SEAL team. That's recon. Those are some people that want to be above average. Those are some men that said, we're going to serve God with an extra energy, an extra fire. We're going to do something for God. David's mighty men just didn't show up at church every once in a while and tip God and think they did God a favor. These were men that meant business. They said, I'm going to be a man for God, a man of God. I'm going to do something. People are going to know what I am, who I am, what I stand for. They were not cowardly men with their tails between their legs. These were the men that were called upon when the going got tough. They'd say, I'll tell you who needs to solve this problem. It's David's mighty men. I wonder, could God call upon you? Wouldn't God look down and say, right there's one of my mighty men, right there. That guy right there means business for God. He's dedicated, sold out. He's willing to do whatever it takes to get a job done for God. Or would God say, oh, not him. He can't even get him to go to church. He's so busy living with the enemy, he don't have time to come to boot camp. We're talking about David's mighty men here. You see, just like the United States military has enough good sense to say, we just don't need men. We need some mighty men. We need some men that want to get the job done. David in the Old Testament had some men like that. Valiant acts are recorded in 1 Chronicles 11 and 2 Samuel 23. What an honor to be one of David's mighty men. I wish I had time. I do not. There were 37 of them in all. I'll tell you what I did. I sat down and I looked at every one of them. I studied their name. To be honest, I wish I had time to read you every name. I want to, because I really believe that every man's name that is on a wall for Vietnam veterans that have passed away while fighting for our country, I think we ought to read every name. I think we ought to see the name of every man that fought for our country in World War I and World War II, and the name of every man that gave his life when those buildings collapsed as a result of an attack on our country. I think we ought to see every name of every man that ever stood up and said, I'll be counted. I'm not just a male. I'm a man. I want to be one of David's mighty men. I studied every one of them. I looked at every one of the 37 names. I looked at them and I studied them. I'll tell you what I found. I found some unique qualities about some of these men. I want to share with you some of the qualities of David's mighty men. Because you see, if it is God that created you, and he did, and he created you in his likeness, and he did, and God is deemed a mighty God, that means for you and I to be a reflection of the God that created us men. We are not just supposed to be male. We're to be mighty men. Mighty men. We're to be mighty men. Let's look at some of the characteristics of David's men and how we should be like them. Let's decide. I challenge you to become a mighty man for God today. For instance, a mighty man for the Lord is one who keeps on going when he's outnumbered. 2 Samuel 23:8, it says, these be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino, the Ezanite. He lifted up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. You understand? Adino, the Tachmonite, was surrounded by 800 men. And he conquered all 800 men single-handedly. Now, it sounds to me like we just met a man. We just met a man. We didn't just meet an excuse maker. I'm so tired of men making excuses for their anemic manhood. It's pathetic. We got every reason under the sun why we don't suck it up and become men. But I'll tell you something. This old boy named Adino, he was a man's man. He was a man's man. Can you picture it? 800 men attacking him all at one time. I'm going to guess they were not all in line fighting him one at a time. I'm going to guess it was not a gentleman's war, because after he knocked the head off of about 400 of them, I'm going to guess they were all out to get him and were pretty upset. How in the world does one man take on 800 men and win? He had God in him. He had God on him. It was God that was with him. And the reason why some of you men feel outnumbered and you're losing the war, because God's not on you and God's not in you. You don't live for God and have no interest in doing so. That's why you're being defeated in life as we speak. Oh, I'll tell you something. A mighty man is a man that keeps on going when he's outnumbered. Hey, be a Christian in a world that is slowly but surely becoming more and more perverted. You say, I feel outnumbered. Fight on, brother. Fight on. You say, Brother Owens, down where I work, the men are filthy. They tell filthy stories. They go out boozing it all the time. And they're rude and they're liars and they're cheats and I'm outnumbered. Suck it up, bud. Go to work and live for God anyway. Well, I don't like this. Well, we wouldn't want to hurt your petty little feelings, would we? Don't worry, when you get home, your wife will pat you on the head and rub your back. I'll tell you something. This man in the Bible, he was a man's man. He was one of David's mighty men. That was the title that he held. He was a mighty man. Some of you have your friends. You can't pull away from your friends. Why? You're not man enough. You've got friends that are bad for you. You shouldn't be with them. They're helping to ruin your family, ruin your marriage, ruin your reputation, ruin you at work, and you won't pull away. You say, I'm outnumbered. Well, I think this guy was outnumbered 800-1. You say, but Brother Owens, if I started serving God and really gave my life to God, I would have family members that wouldn't understand. I'm outnumbered. A real man does what he's supposed to do no matter what the opposition says. Doesn't matter what the opposition says. There used to be some of this flowing through the veins of men in America. But we've allowed ourselves to become cowardly. We've allowed ourselves to cower in the presence of opposition. This Tappanite didn't make excuses. He made solutions. Oh boy, we got so many. I'm telling you, I'll tell you why I think the sodomite thing is running rampant in America, because real men are not men anymore. Now we got a bunch of wimps and weenies and twerps and twinkies, all cream-filled. Good night in the morning. We need some men again. We need some men again in America. And a man, he goes on even when he is outnumbered and serves God anyhow. Listen, if you're the only one in your entire factory that'll stand up and say, I love God, then you stand up and say it. If you're the only man in your entire family, including mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, and the dog Spot, if you're the only one that'll stand up and say, I'm a born-again Christian, I'm going to live right, then you do it by yourself. Young man, if you go to a public school and you're the only one that'll stand up and say, I'm a Christian, I don't do that trash, and you got to stand by yourself, you stand up and be counted. Well, I'll tell you something. I travel this country. It really doesn't matter to me what every other preacher wants to do. If they want to wear lace on their underclothes, they can. But I'm going to stand in my pulpit, and I'm going to preach it straight. And I'm not going to be afraid of what everybody thinks and what all the preachers think out there. If I have to stand alone, God helping me, I'm going to do it. You see, when you're outnumbered, you just keep on going if you're a mighty man. If you're a twerp or a wimp, if you got your tail between your legs, you can scoot home to mama, and she'll keep you safe. A mighty man for the Lord is a man of the Bible. A mighty man for the Lord is a man of the Bible. 2 Samuel 23, verse 9 and 10, it says, and after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle. And the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. Here's a story of a man. And this man, he fought in a battle. And Eleazar is his name. Now, notice something. He's the son of Dodo. Some parents have real sense of humor. Why in the world you'd want to be the son of Dodo? I don't know. Why, you know, I wouldn't name my boy Sue. I don't care what Johnny Cash said. I've got a friend. His last name is Sally. His name is Phil Sally. He named his daughter Sally Sally. That's mean. That's deranged. He was dropped on his head when his child, or he sucked down too much snuff juice he should have been spitting. in this story. The Bible says this man, he got up and there was a war, and it was a war for good. It was a war for right. The Bible says he began fighting early in the day, his hand wrapped around a sword. Said he fought all day long. He fought into the night. He fought so long that his hand, he had Charlie horses in his hand. And the Bible says his hand clave to the sword. It meant it had become a part of that sword. He had fought so hard all day long. You ever hold on to a hammer long enough you almost have to unwrap your hand from that hammer? His hand had been around that sword. He was fighting for his life all day long. Just so you all know, when the Bible talks about a sword here, it is a New Testament reference, actually, to the Word of God. Listen to this. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Hey, I'll tell you what God is saying here. Some men need to rise up, put a Bible in their hand, and go to war for God. Stand for God. Stand in the gap. Says this man, he put that sword in his hand and he fought from sun up to sun down. When they went back to the tent after the battle, they virtually had to pry that sword out of his hand. Hey, let me tell you, what's it going to take to knock the sword, your Word of God, out of your hand? You haven't even had your sword in your hand all week long. You hoped that you could find it in time to bring it into church so you look religious this morning. You got to become a man of the sword. You got to become a man of the Word of God. You say, what should I do? If you want to be a mighty man for God, then you need to believe it. You need to believe the Word of God. Step out and serve Him by faith. Stop counting the cost. Men have so much logic in them, it gets them into trouble. They look at serving God and they think, well, you know, if I start serving God, I may have to change some things in my life. I may be betrayed by a friend or a family member. It's going to cost me too much. Well, I wouldn't want to go to war with you. I don't want you in my foxhole. Because when it's time to fight, I want to fight. I want to make sure I get my job done. You're a draft dodger is what you are. You're a draft dodger. You're going to run to another country instead of fight while we're here in this country in a spiritual battle. Hey, you listen to me. A mighty man is a man of the Bible. You need to teach the Bible at home and everywhere you go. You need to carry your Bible and to work. Take your Bible to work with you. Let people know who you belong to. Let people know you're a Christian. Or would you be afraid? You say, I'm not afraid. Well, put up or shut up. Your words telling me you're not afraid doesn't prove anything. It's your actions. Take your Bible to work. Let the people see it. Let them ask you, you believe that? You stand up and say, yes, I do. We need to believe it. We need to teach it. We need to carry it. We need to love it so everybody will know. We need to live it in a world of very weak Christianity and a world that hates God. We need some men that will carry the old black book. Don't be a coward about it. Don't be a coward about coming to an old-time Baptist church that believes the King James Bible. A preacher stands up and preaches on it. Don't be a coward about that. Don't run from it. Hey, some of you men need to start fighting the battles in your life using the sword of the Word of God instead of alcohol. You get a battle, so you run, go have a beer to calm yourself. Won't you let God empower you to conquer the problems that you have in your life? Quit running from your problems. Let God help you with it. Use the Word of God to solve your problems. Hey, you men, you have your Bible with you? Hold it up if you're not afraid to. Men, you got a Bible with you? Hold it up. You know what that is? That's the Word of God. Amen? That's the Word of God. Amen? Wait, some of you know, if somebody just scored a touchdown, you'd be saying, oh yeah, good job. But you got enough manhood about you to say amen that's the Word of God. Is that the Word of God or is that not the Word of God? Then don't you be ashamed of it. That's the most precious book anywhere in the world, and you ought to stand up and shout and say, praise God, that's my book. He's my God. This is my church. This is what it's all about right there, that book. By the way, you say, you want them holy rollers? No, you don't have to worry. But I sure get excited about the things of God. I'm not going to let the healers, feelers, and squealers chase me out of getting excited about God. There ain't no way. A mighty man is a man of the Word of God. A mighty man is a man that he keeps on going when he's outnumbered. A mighty man for the Lord is a provider of good things. 2 Samuel 23, verse 11 and 12, it says, "And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. The Philistines were gathered together in a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils. The people fled from the Philistines, but he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory." Shammah was his name. His friends had left the Philistines. The enemy had come in and they were trying to take a field of food away from his family and his people. He said, "I'm not budging. It's what I feed my family with. It's how I take care of my family. I am a man. I provide for my family. You fellas get off my property. You're stepping on my beans." Some Philistine had a mouthful of beans. Said, "What are you going to do about it?" I said, "You either spit them out or I'll knock them out, bud. Them's my beans. That's what I feed my wife and my kids. I'm a provider." And it's time in America for men to begin to realize it's your job to provide for your family. It's not the government's job to provide for your family. It's not your wife's job to provide for your family. Your job to provide for your family. That's what the Bible says. If that's new to me, well, wake up, bud. It's time for you to realize what a man is. Men, they need to be providers. Some of you need to go get a job. You grown adult men that walk around, "Well, I can't find any place to work." You come see me, I'll show you find a place. I'll get you find a place to work. There are jobs everywhere. Well, they don't pay enough. They don't pay little enough for somebody lazy like you. You say you feel outnumbered, Brother Owens? No. No. You got to be a provider in your home. And you men that are providers, raise your head high and thank God that you use your energy to provide for your home. I'm so tired of people that want to just go out and have illegitimate babies, then suck up all the welfare in America, and then us men have to go out and we got to get all the money to provide for them. What they ought to do is get those people off their lazy rear ends, get them out there and work them. Let them earn their keep just like the rest of us do. You say, "This is an odd church service." Well, I am an odd preacher. Provide for your home. Provide a Christian home. Provide for the protection of your wife and provide leadership in your home. Provide your family with a good church where men are men and ladies are feminine. Provide. Provide an example. Live right in front of your family. Hey, provide. There's a man in this building today. He's the only one that'll know who I'm talking to. Things are not going real well between he and his wife, and she doesn't want anything to do with church. And I told him yesterday, I said, "Buddy, I'm going to tell you what I'd do. I'd get myself so right with God and get God all over me that my wife would begin to see that I am a man of God and God's going to bless me. She'll want to come around the church. She'll want to be here because of what God is doing is a miracle in his life." Men, we need to grow up and be responsible. We need to provide hope. When the chips are down financially, some of you are too mealy-mouthed and whiny babies. Say, "The chips are down financially right now." Well, here's what you do. Don't whine to your wife all the time. Goodness! If she's got to encourage you every day of your life, all day long, you need to switch roles, buddy. Men used to be men. Men, you say, "Honey, we're going to take care of that. We're going to figure out a way to pay that bill. I'm going to make sure it gets done." Instead of whining, "It is so quiet in here, but it really doesn't matter to me right now." We need men. We need men. We need men that will provide, by the way, love. Men that will provide kindness. You need to be tender with your wife, because if you're not, somebody else will. Can you be good to your children and love them? You say, "Well, Brother Owens, my dad never told me he loved me." He should have. And you should be telling your kids that you love them and your wife. You see, a mighty man was a provider. A mighty man for the Lord would live loyally. 2 Samuel 23, verse 15 and 16, it says, "And David longed and said, Oh, that one would give me a drink of water of the well of Bethlehem, which is in the gate. The three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew out water from the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord." Here's what happened. David was looking down at the well of Bethlehem. As he looked down, he remembered as a boy drinking from that well, and boy, was he thirsty. Boy, was that well fresh, and boy, was it cold. He looked down. He longed for a drink. Three of his mighty men were standing by and said, "You know, I know what David wants. David wants a drink." They put their swords on, got their shields out. They, three men, went down to a host of the Philistines, hundreds and hundreds of men down there. They walked down. When they walked into camp, three swords with all these hundreds of men, one of the Philistines said, "What are you doing?" Said, "David wants a drink of water." They said, "This water's not for sale." They said, "We didn't come to buy. We came to take. Get out of the road. We're coming through." They fought their way to that well, get down a great big old glass of water. One guy was holding a glass of water and a sword, fighting his way back up the mountain. He said, "David, your drinking water's on its way, baby." They were kicking him and knocking him out and pushing him aside. Got to the top of the hill and said, "David, one drink of water?" And David said, "No, sir. Your loyalty has refreshed me. I won't need any more water." And he poured it out. Because there's nothing more refreshing than the loyalty of a real man. Nothing more refreshing. What is loyalty? Loyalty is duty driven. Loyalty is love motivated. Loyalty is unwavering devotion. Loyalty is unstoppable faithfulness. Loyalty is unshakable commitment. Loyalty is unbending attachment. It's on it's an allegiance with an undying obligation connected to it. It's a deep-rooted personal quality of devotion to a person or a cause. Let me tell you something. We better get loyal to the old black book again. We better get loyal to it. You get loyal to the Bible and stop being a wishy-washy baby. Hey, it's either this book is your book or it's not. You choose. I don't need any more of this wishy-washy stuff, and neither does God. God needs some men to stand up and say, "That's my book. I'm going to use it. I'm going to live by it." Hey, there are some women who need some loyalty from their husbands. Loyalty to your wife. Loyalty to her family. Give her no reason to doubt, sir. You let her know there's only one for you, and that's all, because you have an unwavering commitment to her. I'm a one-woman man. She sits right there on the third row. That's my wife. I want her. I love her. I'm keeping her. Come hell or high water, I'm happy with her. And your wife ought to know how you feel. Your mother-in-law ought to know how you feel. I can't believe I said it. Couple was going out for the evening. Last thing they did was put the cat out. The taxi arrived and the couple walked out of the house and the cat shoots back into the house. So the husband goes back inside so he can chase that cat. The wife, not wanting it known to the taxi driver that the house would be empty and nobody was in there, she said to the driver, he's just going upstairs to say goodbye to my mother, his mother-in-law. A few minutes later, the husband gets into the taxi and said, "Sorry, hon. Sorry it took so long. The stupid thing was hiding under the bed, and I had to poke her with a coat hanger to get her to come out, and I locked her in the closet." Loyalty. Our children need to know we're going to be loyal to them. Always do the best for them. Be loyal to God's will for their life. Our churches need to know we're going to be loyal to them. Not church hoppers. Not. Hey, hold your head high. You find you a church that preaches the old black book, you hold your head high. Don't you cower. Stop looking for a way out. Look for a way to sink yourself in. Loyalty to a cause. Loyalty to the souls of men. Loyalty to purity in our homes. Loyalty to the right things. We need some loyalty to America. I realize this old country is not perfect, but it is still the greatest country on the face of the earth. You cut me. I bleed red, white, and blue. I still love Old Glory. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Hey, Bush is my president, and I'm going to be loyal. This is my country, and I'm going to be loyal. Loyalty in American men is almost unheard of anymore. Everybody's in it for themselves. You need to get some loyalty about you. Loyalty to leadership. Get rid of that disloyalty. You know something? Dr. Don Smith, who is a pastor here for 35 years, one of the finest men you ever meet in your life. Hey, what he said to me. I feared coming here because it's usually not recommendable that a pastor pastor a church where the previous pastor is still in the congregation. He put so much calm in me. He said this. He said, Brother Owens, you don't have to worry about me becoming disloyal. He said, because, you see, I've had so many disloyal to me, I know how bad it hurts. And I don't want to hurt you that bad. You know how bad it hurts when people are disloyal? We need some loyalty in our country. A mighty man for the Lord is an honorable man, according to the Bible. 2 Samuel 23, verse 18 and 19, it says this, and Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was chief among three. And he was an honorable man. Abishai was his name. What does honorable mean? He's honest. Man of integrity. He's dependable. Listen, men, if you promise your wife you're going to do something, do it. Do it. Let's have our wives believe in us. May your wife be able to stand and say he's an honorable man. If you promise your children you'll do something with them, do it. Don't make them take second seat for the rest of their life. They'll be grown and gone someday. You be honorable. Make it so that your children can look at you and say, my dad is an honorable man. My dad told you he's going to do something, he'd do it. My dad was not an excuse maker. My dad was not satisfied with being average in regard to his integrity. Pay your bills on time. Pay your bills on time. And if you can't pay them on time, get your bills reduced so you can pay them on time. But it's dishonest to pay your bills late. Give 8 hours work for 8 hours pay and quit cheating the boss. Quit hiding at work. I want the men of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church to be the hardest working men anywhere in this county. I like what I have. I have businesses constantly calling me and saying, Dr. Owens, I'd like to hire one of your men. I say, why? They say they work hard. They show up on time. They're men of integrity. They don't talk back. They are loyal. They're not troublemakers. I don't have to worry about them lying about coming into work. I don't have to do that. I want one of your men, and that's the way it ought to be. That's the way it ought to be. Any man that holds that old black book and says that they live it and love it, every man that says so ought to let God be seen in their life. Tell the truth. I was at CVS the other day. We used to call them drugstores. I'm not sure what they call them now. But I was up at the CVS. The teller there, she must have been 19, 20 years old. She rang me up and gave me my change. It was obvious to me, I think I gave her a $20 bill, and she ended up giving me way too much change back. I stepped away from the counter, I glanced at it, and I faced the same thing that everybody here faces. Do you take the money and run? God is blessing me. I tithe. I stepped back. There's another teller there. I stepped back and I waited for a second. I recounted it and I figured I knew she'd give me too much. But I waited a second. I let the other teller step away because I didn't want to get her in trouble. She didn't do it on purpose. It was an accident. And I stepped up and I said, ma'am, you gave me too much change. At first she was embarrassed and didn't want to admit to it. I said, I'm not upset. I'm not angry. Matter of fact, I waited till the other teller walked away. I want your drawer to be balanced at the end of the day. She said, sir, I need my drawer to be balanced at the end of the day. She said, I get frustrated working sometimes. I make mistakes and I've gotten into some trouble. I said, well, I want you to know you're not going to get in trouble because of me. And here's your money. You put it in your drawer. I was in a hurry, handed her a gospel tract, and I said, I got to run. Next time I come in, she said, hi, Pastor Owens. I'm glad to see you. I said, I'm glad to see you. How's the day going? She said, better. I said, good, give me that money back. No, I didn't. Hey, live in a way that you're honorable. Mighty men. What do mighty men do? Mighty men do that which is hard in life. There's a story of a man by the name of Benaniah in the Bible. Benaniah slew a lion in a pit, and a great big tall man that was many, many feet higher than he. Hey, listen, when it seems that your life is as dark as night, let the stars of God guide you, men. But do what's hard. Overcome yourself, sir. So you men need to overcome your temper with the help of God. And overcome your lust with the help of God. Overcome your bad habits with the help of God. And your laziness with the help of God. And your bitterness with the help of God. Overcome your past failures as a Christian. It's time for some of you to quit whining around. Say, well, I tried to be a good Christian once, but it's hard. Overcome. Get yourself back in church and get right with God. Say, some of you need to overcome your past failures in your business. Somebody stepped here today and you had a failed business. And you say, Brother Owens, I failed. It's been terrible. It didn't turn out the way I thought. Rise up, man. Go out there and say, you know what? I'm going to try again. I'm going to try again. Mighty men, they overcome the difficult things in life. Mighty men come out of the shadows. Go do something for God. There's a story of a young man by the name of Gideon. When God found him, he was hiding behind a piece of farm equipment. And God said, come out of there, Gideon, thou man of valor. And Gideon said, who are you talking to? Man of valor. He said, come on, Gideon. Come out of your shyness. Rise up, sir. Make something happen, is what God said. And Gideon became a mighty captain for God because he decided that he would be mighty for the Lord. Mighty for the Lord. Hey, shy man, start witnessing for Jesus. Hey, backwards man, step up to the plate and hit the ball. Hey, man, afraid of failure? Sure, there's a chance you could fail. Sure, there is. Sure, there's a chance you could fall flat on your face. I've been there many times. But let me tell you something. Every time I fall, I just get back up. And sooner or later, you're going to learn how to get it done. But if you sit there in your cowardly way the rest of your life, you're going to look back and say, I wasted my life. Go do something with your life. Rise up and be somebody. Make something happen for God. Mighty man comes out of the shadows like Gideon did. I'd rather try something and fail than try nothing and succeed. You want to live where it's safe and hide. Not get committed. Don't step out. You might fall on your face. Yes, you will, and I'm flat-nosed to prove it, but I'll tell you something. I still want to do something. I'm going to keep on going. Mighty man would get saved. If you're not saved, you got to get born again. Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You say, well, Brother Owens, to get saved, trusting Christ as my Savior, I mean, getting Jesus in my heart, I feel a little outnumbered. Now, let me tell you something. Here, you got a lot of people for you. You got a lot of people. But you're right. If you don't get saved, when you get to hell, there are going to be a lot of people there. Oh, yeah, there'll be a lot of people. Me, a lot of men that just didn't have the courage to step out and get born again. I remember when I got saved, it was a little scary. When I walked out of that church, palms got sweaty, got nervous, wondered what everybody would think. Thank God, I stepped out. I stepped out. I got born again. See, you need to get saved and cling to what God promises in His Word. Become a provider of good things for your family by giving them a say daddy. Become loyal to the Savior and do the honorable thing. Get born again. Do the hard thing. Humble yourself. Swallow your pride. Say, I need a Savior today. Come out of the shadows like Gideon and say, you know what? I'm not much. But God will save me, which He will. I'll serve Him, which He can. Or you can just be a male. I don't want to just be a man. I see that there is the potential of being a mighty man. A mighty man. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.